All right, we got a couple things I want to do here this morning. I just forgot about this because I lost my papers. Sorry, Molly. This is the cookout on June the 17th at 5 p.m. This is Saturday. I've got the sign-up sheet here. I'm going to pass this around if you want to fill that out. Let's see, does it tell me? I'm assuming it's here at the church. Mm-hmm. So it'll be here at 5 o'clock. It's June the 17th. It talks about it there. You can read. And I know Molly and I guess Tamara, you're working with Molly on that. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be written on the board. Tamara and Molly are working on this together. So if you have any questions, definitely ask those two ladies and they can share whatever you need. So if you'll pass that around and sign up. Okay. Brian and I have been teasing, hinting for a while about something that we're trying to put together, and I'd like to introduce that to you this morning. And it is a series that I'm calling Basic Bible Doctrine Series. Now, I hesitate to even call it that, but it's really what it is. I mean, that's the right answer. But the reason I hesitate is because there's a lot of you in here that, you know, you've heard this before. I mean, this is not stuff that is, you know, oh my goodness, Jesus is God. Oh, that's not news to me. And that's, I know it's not new to you. It's old stuff, but it's pretty foundational stuff too. So I guess I'm trying to make sure that you know I'm not trying to be condescending and assume you don't know anything, because a lot of you know as much, if not definitely a lot of you know more than I know about life and the Bible and lots of things. So I'm not trying to tell you something on these basic things that you're not aware of. I have a different purpose for it. I had drawn a picture for you guys one time when I was working on Jude. And the point of Jude was that people were trying to come up with new truth, new things, new interesting things. And what they were doing, back up here, so you have a pyramid. The pyramid, this foundation, is what makes that thing stand up. So it's wider at the bottom, it's firm, solid. But if you try to start down here with the cool stuff, the new stuff, the stretch stuff, the things that are really interesting, that's not going to stand up very long. So while you have heard this stuff before, the foundational, the basic stuff before, you've heard all that, you know all that, I've heard all that, I know all that, we need to make sure before we go too far down this path that we remember all of that stuff. So I want to systematically, instead of just sort of randomly, we're going to very systematically go through basic Bible doctrines. I'm going to actually pass you a little sheet here. Let's do it this way. Let me get one of those off the top. The doctrines include the doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, man, sin, salvation. I mean, these are very core things. The kind of things you would expect to learn if you had just come into a church, you've just gotten saved, and you want a new believer's class. It's that kind of stuff. Now, again, recognizing that we are not all, in fact, I don't know if there's anybody in here that is a new believer. I think we've all been saved at least a couple of years. And so this is not we're not talking about this as a new believer. We're just going to look back at this. Think about this as the foundation of our faith. This is the reason we come to church. And if we're not in agreement on these basic things, if we don't understand what we believe, if we don't know what we believe on these basic things, whether we've forgotten, we could have learned it wrong, any number of things. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. And the reason for that is because I'm not looking at, this is about a 6-month plan here. I'm not really thinking about this as, you know, just for 6 months. I've got a bigger goal, which is actually, if you look at today is June 4th, the introduction, the goal. I want to talk to you about what the goal of all of this is. The goal, we have to start here at the bottom to build upon the goal, which is why we're starting very, very basic. So again, please go with me here and don't think I'm really talking down to you. I'm really just trying to make sure we're starting from the right foundation. That's what we're going to do because we've got a bigger goal in mind, a kind of a goal because, again, I don't know about you, but I'm not planning just to be here for 6 months and move on to the next thing. The Christian walk, the Christian life, the learning, the growing, and all that is a long-term commitment. So you've got to start, and that's what I want to do. We've got a group of folks here. For the most part, you guys are the sort of the regulars, the faithful ones, the ones that come pretty much every Sunday, unless for some reason you can't be here. You're the guys here. We've got a few other folks, just to be blunt and honest, that kind of float in and out from time to time, and that's okay because of different circumstances, but this is kind of our solid group, and this is what we need to make sure we're starting at the basic, and then we build upon those basics, and then we can, and I'll tell you about what the goal is in just a minute. So, for the next few weeks, and there's two reasons for this introduction, these 3 weeks of introduction. One is to frankly introduce it, so you know what I'm talking about. The second reason for the introduction is to give you a little bit of time, because I'm just throwing this at you. I'd like to not only use this as an opportunity for you and me to make sure we have our foundation solid so we can start building upon that foundation in a very systematic way. I would also like you to think about this as an opportunity to say, hey, we're in Freedom, or at the fellowship class, we're going through the basic Bible doctrines, and that's a good opportunity to invite unsaved people who are just kind of curious about religion, Christianity. It's a good opportunity to invite people who are new believers, that you're friends of yours, that just got saved. Hey, this is a good class that we're doing. We're going through this. It'd be a good opportunity for that. It's also even a good opportunity. I'm going to tell you about the goal here in a minute. If you know other people that are in your condition who have been saved for a while that could benefit from going this direction, again, the nice thing about an outline, a plan like this, is you know where we're going. It's easier to sell that. That's the wrong word to use, but you get the point. To sell that to somebody to get them in here. So I'd like you to use this as an opportunity. And again, I'm giving you a couple of weeks of introduction. Again, for one reason to introduce, but the other reason to give you a chance to get some people in here. Because today's first thing you've heard about this. I don't want anybody to think, yeah, I didn't get in at the beginning. Well, the beginning really starts June 25th. That's really the beginning. So if you can get them in here sometime between now and then, they can get the whole thing and kind of get all those basics. So that's the purpose, or that's where we're going. So that's where we're going. I told you that, but I also don't want to tell you that in that this is just the way it is, and love it or leave it or whatever. It's not like that. I'd like to hear what you have to say on it. If you've got a point, and actually let me back up here, you can certainly talk to me anytime. Hopefully you know that. But one of the rules that I want to lay down for us going forward, and you've not really been particularly shy to this point, but I want to make sure you know that from this point on, if there is something that you want to say about this or anything we're saying, I encourage you to interrupt what I'm saying, what Brian's saying, and we are to ask it. Because again, we're not going to learn simply by listening to me lecture. You're not going to learn simply by listening to Brian lecture. You might learn more about him from him than me, but you're not going to learn just by listening to our lectures. You're going to learn if I'm going down a particular path, you say, I don't see it that way, or what about this? And we can bring that out in the class. So one of the rules that I want to have for this whole discussion, this whole 6 months, and of course going on, but particularly for this 6 months, is make sure, say it another way, I was in a class one time, or a group of classes one time, and one of the things that the professor told me, or told the whole class, was, this is your class, you're going to learn when you tell me what you need to learn. You're not going to just learn if you don't say anything, I've got some things I'm going to tell you, and that's the way I see it. If you don't say anything, you just sit there and listen to me. I got lots of things to tell you because I sure like to talk. But it's your class. This is an hour of your time you're spending in here to make this most useful for you. You have got to say, hey, Matthew, I don't like that. Or, oh, I like that, but here's something else that you may have not thought of that you haven't brought out yet. Whatever. That's how you've got to make this useful. So again, I've got points I'm going to make. I know Brian's got things he's going to talk about. But you've got to make this your stuff. Got that? You okay with that? Okay. Do y'all like the direction we're going? You okay with that? I think it's too simplistic. I mean, is it too simplistic? Because I mean, if it's too simplistic, I mean, you don't learn anything. But I'm seeing nodding heads, so that's a good sign. Okay, that's good enough. All right.
Pretty simple bridge.
Just simple. I understand. Okay. Well, simple's good. Simple's good. That's where we're going to go.
Oh, okay.
You remember the little questionnaire you sent out?
Yeah.
It's kind of based on that.
It is.
And
it actually is.
Because when you give it to me, I read some of them, I'm thinking, well, really, I'm thinking about this. I know what I think's right, but you know, really, what is right?
That's actually a good point. I had done a questionnaire, and actually I did it at a time right when a lot of folks were out because of holidays, and I know that, Rhonda, your mother was sick at that time. Some other things were going on. Anyway, but it was so not all of you have seen this, but it was a questionnaire that I put out asking you what you believed on different doctrines, and really my point in that, it was anonymous. I wasn't trying to ask, you know, what do you believe about this or that. Just trying to get a sense of the class. And what I did get a sense of was, yeah, there's definitely a basic understanding. I mean, again, if you've been in church for any amount of time, which most of you have, you hear this stuff from the pulpit. So it's not, you know, oh, that's weird. But there is, at least I got the sense, at least in some of you, a desire to know a little more of the underpinning of it, to kind of understand it a little more, to kind of dig into it a little more to make sure that we got that. I also got a sense that there was a desire for learning some additional things. I think one of the things that came up as a question, and frankly, I don't know anything about it, so I can't tell you much about it right now. I have to study it, was angels, the doctrine of angels. That was one thing I don't think hardly any, or very few people under had a real good sense of the doctrine of angels, and they all, I think everybody clicked or checked, want to know more, want to know more about this. So anyway, but again, that's what I consider more of a higher level doctrine. It's not one of the basic doctrines, so we got to start with the basics, and then we're going to build on that. There's a lot of doctrine out there, 66 books worth of it, so we got lots of stuff to learn, and that's where we're going. Okay? So it's a slightly academic approach, but I don't want it to be so academic that you're just sitting there taking notes and taking tests and stuff like that. This is us thinking together. We're not taking tests.
Now you're getting beyond the simple.
No tests. Sorry.
You're running off, we won't be.
That's right. Yeah. No tests. Sorry, I just was saying there won't be any tests. You don't have to worry about that. Okay. Now I'm going to launch into... before I do that, what's that? Oh yeah, Will, you were going to say something. Oh, you're just going to make a smart comment.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's okay. See, those aren't permitted.
Hey, if I see something different than you and I say something about it, don't give me one of those dumb looks.
That's right.
Where did you get that?
What are you talking about?
What?
Hush, Will.
Now, when you say simple, is this going to be on children's church level? Or
no.
There's going to be words that you throw out of this.
Big words, of course. Only big words. That's all. I don't know how to use easy words, little words.
I got to know how to spell these big words before I go home and ask Randall what they mean.
I hear you. One last thing on this. Again, just don't forget the two purposes here. Purpose number one is that you and me, we as Christians in our walk, have a basic foundation for learning more. That's number one. And don't forget that it is for you to learn and help me learn and to help us all learn together. Number two, though, and I'd like you to take advantage of this opportunity. I'm doing the best I can to do that, talking to a few people at work about this. Use this as an opportunity to bring people into this class. And again, that can be unsaved people because, again, it's really suited towards somebody who knows nothing about this stuff as well. It helps them to kind of get, you know, you don't have to have been in church for years to get what we're going to be talking about. Yeah, although it's going to help us that have been in church for years. So it's a good opportunity to bring some new folks into the class. And particularly, again, I'd love to have anybody that's not in a Sunday school class in here, but particularly people who aren't even in the church. That would be perfect if you've got folks that are interested. And I'll bring you more copies of this, email them to you, whatever you want, if this is helpful for you to have a piece of this. Okay, now we're going to go into the introduction. If you will turn to Mark chapter 12. There's going to be a lot of turning today, and I think I've probably spent more time than I intended to, so I'm probably not going to get through all of this. Why you turn to Mark chapter 12, that's one other point. I've got this pretty specifically outlined. Like each one of these things is a specific thing. I know how that I teach, and sometimes I'll go over long on some things and go short on other things. So I know that as much as I'm going to try to nail each one of those specific things, we're going to miss it a little bit. Y'all okay with that, right? Have to be okay with it, I suppose. But we're going to miss it a little. We're going to try, because one of the points is I don't want this to be a four-year program. I want this to be very specific, concise, be done with it. But on the other hand, I don't want this to be this big, long, drawn-out thing that we're just keep talking about this forever. I want to kind of do this and then move to the next thing. So, all right, let me go here. Mark chapter 12, let's read Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to 31. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to 31. It says, this is Jesus talking, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." What's the goal of doctrine at all, this doctrine class that we're going to be doing, going through? The goal of a Christian, frankly, even the purpose of man's existence on this earth, the goal is to love and enjoy God. That's our whole point. So if I spend a week or 2 weeks talking about the Holy Spirit and His work and the things He's doing, why am I doing that? So that I can help myself and help you love God and enjoy God. That's the whole point of everything that we're going to be doing for the next 6 months and hopefully beyond that as well. But it's even the point of me being on this earth is for me to love and to enjoy God. God is glorified by our love and adoration. That's what He's created us for. Now turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now, while you turn there, after you turn there, before I read, let me explain this love just a second. This isn't just the kind of love where, well, I'll go ahead and say this. This is my example that I'm going to use later. But anyway, think about the love between your husband, you and your husband, or you and your wife as a spouse. Think about that love. The love that you have for them is not the kind of love that you can have for them and somebody else and somebody else. Am I right? It's a special love that's you and them. In fact, if the minute you introduce other people into that, there's problems and it becomes no longer love. It's a bad thing. So this love that you have is specifically for them. In other words, just like we read, we're to love God, just like we love our spouse, with all of our soul, heart, mind, strength, everything that's in us. That is the focus. Everything else, therefore, by necessity, again, think about the love of your wife and between your wife and a wife and a husband. By necessity, all other loves are forgotten, put in the past. Okay? All right, at least I hope so. If not, you got problems. But hopefully all those other loves are in the past. They're gone. You forgot about them. If you don't forget about them, you put them out of your mind as quick as you can, because that's not the point of your love with your spouse is to be only for them. Let's look at Paul now in Philippians chapter 3 as a good example of this kind of love in action. Again, we're talking about it focused towards God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to read quite a few verses here, and then I'm going to go back and make a couple of comments. But I want to read this passage to you because it's makes the point very well. But what things... let me stop here. Before that, he talks about, right before this, the first six verses, he talks about his sort of pedigree of religious upbringing and all this stuff that he knows and how smart he is and how religious he was and how much he was really into the Jewish law. Then he says, But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the righteousness of the death. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'll stop there. The first thing that we notice in verse 7 through 8, he talks about those things which are gain, I've counted for loss. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He counts those things as dung. All those things that are in the past, all his worldly pleasures, those things that he counted as useful and valuable. All those things are useless to him now. Completely useless to him. There, those things are put in. Forgetting those things which are behind. One thing I tend to read a lot on my vacation, and I was on vacation last week and was reading this book. It's actually a pretty good book if you ever get a chance. It's called Desiring God, a fellow named John Piper. But he quotes in here a little blurb from C.S. Lewis. You guys know who C.S. Lewis? Chronicles of Narnia. He's the guy who wrote that. He also wrote a pretty good book called Mere Christianity. It's really good. But English fella, and he said this. Let me read this from him. He says, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offering of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." So the point he's making here is, as Christians, this Bible opens up this world of pleasure and possibility to us. But because we're not forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to the things which are ahead, we're sitting there excited about things we're calling sin, or maybe not even sin. Could be just things that we just think are interesting and good to us. But we get excited about these things. He says ambition and sex and drinking and, again, whatever those vices, whatever you want to call those things for you might be, those things are exciting to us as human beings. But that's because it's like he said, the example of the kid making a mud pie. That's fun when he doesn't, in a slum, when he doesn't realize how fun it could be to go to a beach and play in the sun. He doesn't realize that because, again, we've got this whole Bible of talking about the joys of God, but we're not putting those things behind us that we ought to be putting behind us, and we're not looking forward to the things we ought to be looking forward to, so we get mired up in stuff that doesn't matter. So the worldly pleasures are useless to Paul. But he wants instead Christ and his righteousness, which again is that better pleasure. In verses 8 and 9, it talks about to win Christ and to be found in him with the righteousness which is of God. That's what Paul is looking forward to. He wants Christ. Now, when he gets Christ, or what purpose does he want Christ? Because he talks about wanting, that's what he wants. He puts old things behind him, and he's reaching forward to Christ. But what does he want when he gets that? In verses 10 to 14, it talks about he wants to know Christ. Now, again, that doesn't sound like all that much. He just wants to know Christ. Okay, he wants to know Christ. Read the Bible, you'll know Christ. But again, think about the relationship you have with your spouse. What is the fun of a relationship? What fun is it? It's to know that person, to be with that person. I mean, again, I think back when I was dating Vanessa and when we were together, it was just fun to hang out. I mean, if the things we were doing then, if I think about them, it's kind of boring. But it wasn't the thing that we were doing that was interesting. It was the being with her that was fun. I remember thinking back at that time, and again, maybe y'all don't remember this sort of thing, but again, if you don't, I think you got bigger problems. Because again, that's the whole purpose. What's the attraction you have to a man or a woman? What's the attraction there? It's the fact that you like that person. You want to know more about that person. So what is it he wants to win with Christ? It's not so that, again, if we want to think about marriage very mechanically, because we want to have children, and we want to have good children, and have good citizens in the society, and all this sort of thing. It's, you know, you can have some other reason. We want to be outstanding people, and the only way to do that is to marry a good woman, or marry a good man, or if you want to think about it mechanically, you can do that. But that's not what you, at least not what I was thinking about when I was marrying my wife. I was thinking, I like this woman. I want to be with this woman. It has nothing to do with whatever fringe benefits you might get, whatever it looks like, whatever social standing you get. It has nothing to do with those things, at least not a good marriage. A good marriage has everything to do with the fact you want to be with her or him. That's what that's about. So again, the same thing with Christ. Why do I want to get Christ? Not because I can be spiritual, not so I can help the world, not so I can, you know, be seen as this bright, brilliant person, so I can, you know, get rewards in heaven or any of those things. I just want to win Christ. I just want to know him. I want to be with him. I want to feel his pain. I want to be with him. I ultimately want to love God, which is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, remember, the whole purpose of all this is to love God. To love him completely and totally and wholly. If I do that, the only way that I can do that is to know him. Again, think about your marriage. I don't love Vanessa if I don't know her. If I learn about Sandy and I'm trying to love my wife, not going to help me because I'm going to know about Sandy. Does that make sense? I got to know about Vanessa. I've got to know about her to love her. I can't know about my job and try to love my wife. I can know about my job and know everything about my job, but it's not going to help me love my wife. What do I need to do? I need to know her. I need to learn about her and get interested in her. Now, let me flip over another thought here. I don't have a great transition for this. Just flip over to Psalm 16. We're going to breeze through the Psalms as an end. There's several of the Psalms. Psalm 16 is where we're going to go first, and we'll try to do this in order so you don't have a bunch of flipping around here. But we're going to look through several Psalms because the Psalms generally are a great way to show. It's a great expression. I mean, poetry generally is a good expression of love, right? So the Psalms really show us how this love can be expressed and how it is expressed and what this love does for us. Because if you look back at your old love letters to your now spouse or even people that aren't your spouse that you wrote love letters to, when you were writing to them, think about the things that you said to them. You were praising them, not in order to get something from them, but to praise them in order to express the feeling, the love that you had for them. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. Psalm 16, verse 11, he says, he's talking to God, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." So in thy presence is fullness of joy. So it's just talking about what I've already been kind of hitting on already. Just being with God is joy. It's fun. It's fun. Or at least the Bible says it's fun to be with God. Turn to 17, verse 15. 17, verse 15. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." He's talking about the fact that God is satisfying. So everything that we think we need, those voids we're trying to fill in ourselves, and again, the C.S. Lewis was talking about, we may try to fill those things with sex or drink or work or whatever thing we're trying to do to fill this void inside of us, the way to fill that void, according to the psalmist, is the pleasure of God, to seek God, to look for God. Turn to 32, chapter 32, verse 11. Chapter 32, verse 11. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy." I think that's the wrong verse. Yeah, no, that's the right verse. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all of you that are upright in the Lord." You can have your joy, your happiness, your gladness in the Lord. Turn now to 37, verse 4. And here's a verse I think is familiar to you. At least it's familiar to me. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And I don't want to twist this or make it mean something it doesn't mean, so please ignore this if it doesn't work for you. But let me just tell you, when I delight myself in my wife, and she gives me the pleasures of desires of my heart, what is it that I'm wanting? I'm wanting whatever makes her happy, because it makes me happy that she's happy. And it's almost circular logic there, but if you follow that, my desires, my delight is in my wife, then whatever she makes her happy is what's going to make me happy. So the same thing goes with God. If my delight is in God, then everything that God tells me to do, not to do, attitudes, feelings, behaviors that He commands for me are going to be fun for me. It's going to be fun for me. It's going to be something I delight in, because who am I trying to please? Who am I trying to make happy? Trying to make happy God, and that because I delight in Him. Not just because I'm doing it out of duty, and I'm sort of jumping ahead of myself here, but not just because I'm doing this out of duty, but because I like it. It's fun. I love God. I want to be with God. I want to do what God wants me to do. I delight in Him. It's not just because I have to do it and it's the right thing to do. You think about your marriage mechanically. I have to be faithful to my wife, and I have to come home at a certain time, and I have to put the children to bed, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. Well, yeah, you have to do it, sure. Those are the rules. You got to do it. Got to. But you need to do it because you love her. Because it's you delight in her. Or vice versa, wife with a man. All right, next verse. 40, chapter 40. This is almost the same thought, but it just says it in a different way. Chapter 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Same thought. 51, Psalm 51, verse 12. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The only reason I point this verse out is it's actually talking about trying to get right with God's day. I think this is the psalm that David, he's basically after he's had the sin with Bathsheba, he's confessing that sin, trying to get right with God. And he's basically suggesting here that there is joy in salvation. Salvation is more than fire insurance, like we've talked about. It is more than a set of rules and rights and wrongs and crowns in heaven and all that. It's fun. It's a pleasure. It is a joy. It can be a joy. Real important verse here, Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 3. I believe I want to read all of those. Yes. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. The psalmist here is actually hungry, desiring the Lord. He's hungering and thirsting for the Lord. He wants to be with God. The only other verse which I won't read is in Psalm 73, which talks about Psalm 73, verses 25 to 26. I won't read it. It just talks about God is the only one that he desires. One of the things that's really interesting to me about all those psalms is that when I think about my own attitude towards God and my love for God and all those things, I think a lot of times I think about it as, if I will love God, I'll do what the Bible says, then I can do great things for God. I can get people saved. I can encourage people. I can help people. I can pray for people. I can do all these things, which again, the Bible does clearly command that these things be done, so please don't misunderstand me. But the psalmist is not saying, I want to love God so I can do better things. The psalmist says the love for God is the end. That's the goal. That's the objective. Same thing with your relationship with your wife. I keep beating on that, or your husband. I keep beating on that, but that is very, very important, because if you think about what is your objective there, it's not to accomplish some great thing. The great thing to accomplish is to love them, to be with them, to make them as happy as they as you possibly can make them. That's the goal. The bell just rang, so I'm running out of time. But let me see here. I'll give you these verses, and then I'll just tell you what I want to point out here. John chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. This is the woman at the well in Samaria. This is where Jesus talks to this woman at the well. He tells her, you know, I've got living water for you. You're probably aware of the story. At the end of it, he basically confronts her with sin, and her reaction to this, confrontation of her with her sin is basically to say, yeah, okay, so you know me. But what do you think about this weird controversy that we've been having in Samaria? Which is, in Samaria, they thought God should be worshipped in one place. The Jews thought that God should be worshipped in another place. So again, she just sort of really changes the whole subject on God. And Jesus' response to it is basically to say, it's not an issue of where, it's an issue of who and how you worship. Because the Samaritans, the reason they were doing what they were doing, again, it was wrong, because please don't misunderstand me, it was wrong that they were worshiping God in the wrong place, because in the Old Testament, God commands a specific place and specific way to worship Him. So it was wrong. But Jesus' point was that first, improper doctrine, and here's really where I'm kind of summing all this up together for you, improper doctrine, improper information leads to improper love, which leads to improper worship. So again, if we kind of take this and apply it to the one thing that I think we're all familiar with, which is a relationship with our husband or wife, if I don't understand my wife properly, which I don't know if anybody understands their wife properly, but anyway, that's a total side point. I need to try to learn more about her, try to understand her. So if I understand my wife properly, understand what she wants, what she desires, what makes her happy, if I understand those, try to seek those out and understand them properly, then I'm going to love her properly. And the worship, which is the expression of my love, that I'm going to worship her properly. Same thing applies to God. If I will examine, and God's made it very clear what He wants and doesn't want, if I will examine His Word, make sure that my doctrine is proper, then my love for God can be proper. So doctrine should not be an academic exercise, which is really what I'm trying to get to you for. You know what I'm trying to say? Get there. Trying to get there and get that out. Trying to get to the fact that this is not an academic exercise. It's not, you know, a multiple choice question kind of thing. Give me the right answer here. It is to get the right answer, to get the right information, to make sure our doctrine is proper. But why is our doctrine proper? Not so that we can know lots of things about the Bible. It is so that we can know lots of things about God, so that we can love God. And therefore, worship Him properly. Worship Him properly. So that is the whole point here. Couple other verses if you want to look at these on your own. Again, the John 4 passage is good. Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9 talks about the same concept where you worship me with your mouth, but your doctrine's all wrong. He's talking about the Pharisees and how they worship God improperly. And then the parallel to human marriage, which I've actually taught about in here before, but it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 32, just so that you know that this parallel that I'm talking about, it's not just sort of an analogy. It's actually a very good, it's biblical. All right, well, I think we're done now, so we'll close with that. Bottom line, we're doing doctrine. We're going to look at doctrine so that we can love God properly, so we can worship God properly. Okay? You're dismissed.